stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. I'm gonna sing it again. I stand amazed in your presence. Yes, Lord. But there is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah. I stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you.
Your name, all you do, you do mighty things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. Father, we are thankful that nothing changes you. You are consistent. You are constant. You are faithful. You're an awesome God. And we thank you that you chose us to be your children. And Lord, we declare this day that your hand rests upon us, that the awesomeness of our Father is transmitted and manifested in his children. Lord, do in us and with us great and mighty things, that we represent you well, that day by day you will say, these are my children that I'm well pleased in. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's good to see you this evening. Tonight we'll begin a process. The process is to peel layer by layer some of the necessary things that we need to do to not just survive the years to come, but to thrive in the years to come. Amen? There is a difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. But it doesn't just automatically happen. It has to be engaged. Amen? So the Word of God tells us in Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Because you cannot serve two masters. Praise the Lord. You cannot serve two masters. No one of us can serve two masters. We are either going to serve and commit ourselves to God, or we will serve another. And the decision that every one of us needs to make is to make the right choice of being on the Lord's side. Amen? So the Word of God is very clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Now, to accomplish that, we've got to think in terms of, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Do you want to know the answer to that? Okay. It means before you make any decision, put God first. How is this decision I'm about to make going to affect my relationship with God, my service of God, my capacity and my ability to do what God wants me to do? If there is anything in it that will hinder my capacity to do what will be pleasing in the sight of God, no matter how good that thing is, I set it aside. Because my primary goal is to foster the purposes of God and to see God bless me in the decisions I make. So no matter how cute the guy is, no matter how beautiful the girl is, if that guy or girl is not going to help me continue to grow in the things of God, aside. Praise the Lord. Whatever will be a stumbling block, I must set aside. My first and primary passion must be what is going to honor God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that does not mean that you reject good things because. No, it means that you choose the right thing by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may have to leave something to better yourself so that you are better positioned to do whatever it is God wants you to do. For example, I am doing ministry here, and I'm able to do so much. But if I go over to that school that is 10,000 miles away, I will return back in a better position to help the work of God go further. I must align myself with what will help me do more for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is first. Not, oh, I'm going to leave my friends. Oh, I love my church. I cannot go. They need me here. No, they will need you better positioned than where you are now. Hello? So seeking first the kingdom of God does not tie you down. Seeking first the kingdom of God is about how best you can be to be more influential with what God has given to you, how you can better yourself to do greater things than what you are doing now. That makes sense? Praise God. So, seeking first the kingdom of God, it is a must that must be settled in my life. Praise God. Now let's go to the passage of scripture that we were sharing from in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and begin to peel this onion one level at a time. It says in verse 9, we got up to this point this morning, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the context of that statement is the fact that God is saying to us in the passage of Scripture, just to help those that don't have anything to look into at this point, that the Word of God tells us that we should not be ignorant about the times and seasons that we are in. Praise God. We should not be ignorant about it. The chronological times and the specific appointed times that God has. And because God, our Lord, is going to come back like a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to be a surprise. And therefore, the Word of God is beckoning us to be prepared and ready, no matter what the situation is. So it says to us, don't be asleep like those who do not know God. Don't be caught by surprise. You should know these chronological and specific times. It is part of who you are. You are sons of the light, and God has not appointed you to wrath. Those that are caught unawares are going to experience the wrath. And God is saying, "You are not. That's not your portion. Wrath is going to come. Disaster is going to befall people. When they say, peace, peace, then comes sudden disaster and destruction. Don't be caught unawares. God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Who is this Jesus Christ? The one who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, and in this sense here, being awake or asleep is in reference to whether you are alive or dead. Amen? So in essence, it's saying, before you die, stay awake. Hello? Stay awake, because being awake is what is going to cause you not to be part of the wrath. Did you get the point? Be awake. Die awake. Live awake. Because those that are awake are the ones that are going to be caught up to be with him. They are awake because they are focused on the things of God. They are focused on the things of the kingdom. They are pursuing the things of the kingdom. And they are spiritually built up. Amen? Now, if I had a magnet here, and the magnet was going over rubber, will it pick it up? No. If it was going over diamonds, will it pick it up? If it was going around metal, it will pick it up. Yeah? What God is saying is, put all the things that you need inside of you so that when I come, you get picked up. Do you get it? Get the right stuff in. Because if you don't have the right stuff in, you don't get picked up. There's nothing to pick up. So what are these things that we need to have? First thing I mentioned, which is the general umbrella statement, is seeking first the kingdom of God. Have a heart for God. Amen? So that when God comes, he'll get you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on a little bit further. It says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify or build each other up, even also as you do. Build each other up. This is the first thing that God calls us to do here. Help build each other. Stop tearing each other down. Build each other up. Speak words that edify one another. You know, believers have this weird habit of tearing each other down. And they think that is spiritual. No, but God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it that way. God wants you to build your brother up. Find something to attach to help him come up higher. Help your sister come up higher. Build them up. Help them. Support them. Be supportive. Be encouraging. Comfort yourselves together. Comfort yourselves. Praise the Lord. What did it say you should do? Comfort yourselves. Now, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete, our comforter. And the word is parakaleo. In other words, come alongside your brother. Don't leave your brother alone. Don't leave your sister alone. Hang around. Help them. Be your brother's keeper. The first manifestation of sin, other than what we know about Adam and Eve, is Abel and Cain, and Cain making a statement, am I my brother's what? Keeper. And God says, yes, you are your brother's keeper. You should help him. You should comfort him. You should come alongside of him and help him be the best him that he can be in the kingdom of God. The best thing I can do as a pastor is to give you the best so that as you receive the best of God, you are strengthened. That does not mean I say what you like to hear. That means I tell you what the truth is. Amen? And it doesn't matter what you call me. After that, all the pastor wants is this. All the pastor wants is that. The pastor is this. It doesn't matter. As long as I have the word of God and I'm telling you what the word of God says, you can do whatever it is you want to do with what the word of God says. Fight against it. Call me names. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be chicken. Amen? The word of God is very clear. It says, don't look at their faces. That's what he said to Jeremiah. Don't look at their faces. Just tell them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because, church members can stare you down. You know, while you're preaching, they bring their wallet out and wave it and say, keep at it if I will give an offering. And some pastors will pipe down and say, I better not say anything because we've got bills to pay. I could care less about that. God is a God who takes care of his church. Amen? And like he said, if you tell these children to stop praising and crying out Hosanna and praising, even the stones will cry out. Amen? I don't want to be left behind when it comes to the things of God. Do you? I need to participate. Amen? So the word of God says, build each other up. That's important. Know your brother. Comfort your brother. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them. This is the second thing. To know them which labor among you. Know those that are working in your midst. Those that are laboring amongst you. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Those that are speaking into your life. Those that are working in the vineyard of the Lord. Those that are admonishing you. He says, take note of them. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, 1 Timothy 5 and 17, the word of God says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Those that are laboring, bringing you the word of God. It says, they deserve double honor. Honor them, respect them. For the scripture said, thou should not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Praise the Lord. So God says, honor your leaders. Why is that important? Because the leader that you don't respect and honor is a leader you will not listen to. And they may just be telling you what you need at a particular time and you don't give heed to it. He says, honor them. Honor them. Why? So that they can get focused on the word and doctrine. I'm not just speaking to those who are in this house right now. I'm speaking to a whole world. If you have a pastor or ministers and you're not busy taking care of them and they are busy trying to find a second job to make ends meet, you're not doing what God has called you to do. You are doing yourself a disservice. That man is going to be busy with so many things and not focus on the word of God, and what you are going to end up with is refried beans all the time. You're not going to get good cooked fresh food. Leftovers. Is that what you want? I hope not. Because pretty soon those leftovers are going to turn your tummy. Give the man of God the capacity to do what they need to do so that you get the best whenever they come before you to present the word of God. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, and to esteem them very highly. This is part of what you need to do, not to be caught up in the dangers that are coming into the world. He says, esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them. Do you honor the men and women of God in your life? Oh dear, I just so and so. No, God says, esteem them. Be a blessing to them. When they look at you, let their hearts be filled with joy. Because they get to give a report every day. And the last thing God wants to see in the face of his son or daughter that he's assigned to his vineyard is that son being troubled. And there are so many pastors that have been troubled. Troubled. Some people think it is their duty to humble the pastor, humiliate him, drag him through all kinds of foolishness. That's the worst thing you can do. In this time that we have come to, God says, esteem the people that I place there. Because you see, are you listening? Good. If you are judging that man or woman of God, and you're saying whatever it is that you want to say, and God put that man there, then you are judging God's judgment. You know better than God. Let God deal with that man. If he's not representing him, he will take that man out. I'm not saying that every pastor is a good pastor. There are some diabolical, devilish, devil-led pastors. They are not anything that have to do with the kingdom of God. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And you can see that because he's not telling people the truth. Stay away from those kind of people. But in fact, just leave before you start attacking that man or woman of God. Take your feet and walk away from that, please. If you cannot respect that man or woman of God, walk away. David was a man after God's heart. Saul was the king, and Saul was now demonized. And David said, I will not lay my hands on the anointed of God. Saul was no longer anointed of God, but once upon a time he was. And when a piece of cloth was cut off of Saul's garment, he wailed. This is a terrible thing that has happened. But people have the audacity to attack men of God and women of God. The man or woman of God is not your mate. He may be laughing and joking around with you, but he's not your mate. He is a servant of God. And you give God that honor. Amen? You give God that honor. God knows all the details. God will deal with all the details. But you don't jump in there and start messing around with that man of God. God has not given you the permission to do that. That is necessary in this last of the last days. Now, I said something earlier. If that man is not a man or woman of integrity, walk away. Just walk away. Let him know, I'm walking away. I don't feel right here anymore. The thing that you don't want to do is just walk away without honoring that man or woman and letting him or her know that you are walking away. Some people come to church and they make a decision, I'm not coming back, and nobody knows. Well, that's a good way to get lost. Don't do that. Amen? We're talking about ABCs of what you need to do to go through the next days. So first of all, God says, build each other up. Secondly, He says, respect, esteem the leadership I've put before you. He says, thirdly, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Warn them. You see somebody that is unruly, he says, warn that person. Now, the Greek word that is used there is a word that represents disorder, unarranged. They are not in flank. They're not working together with what is happening. He says, you see an unruly person, warn them. He says, I exhort you, brethren, this is your responsibility. Warn those that are unruly, but comfort the feeble-minded. Come alongside the feeble mind. This is the second time it's using the word comfort. It says, comfort feeble-minded people. They are people that have not grown up. They are not there yet. It says, comfort them. Support the weak. He's repeating what he said earlier. Again. Be patient toward all men. Have patience. Give them time to grow. You're going to need that brother. You think he's no good right now, you're going to find out later he is good. You know, in a world of giants, little short people are not very important until there is something that the big man cannot get into. They need to crawl through a hole to get something. Now you need the short guy. Now you need him. Everybody's needed. Praise the Lord. Everybody is needed. You need your brother. Especially this next 7 years, you need your brother. Don't be too big for yourself. Recognize we all are important. Every one of us. This thumb, I can say, is the shortest of my fingers. But if I don't have it, it's going to be hard for me to hold things. How are you going to hold things? You don't have the thumb. How are you going to hold it? All you do is going to be pushing stuff. Except if it's really small, then maybe you can palm it or something. You need your thumb. Every part of you, every part of the church is needed. Amen? You know, I listened to the worship team lead us in prison worship. Wow. How well they can sing and play. I can do that. They are just as important in the service as I am. Because they are leading us in worship. Sometimes I look at them and how they're worshiping and see the purity of what's happening with them as they lead. I say, wow, they're really praising God. This means something. They're singing that song and it means something to them. And sometimes I look at the audience and I see people in worship just glorifying God. I see little kids dancing. You know, they might start out playing first and doing whatever it is that they're doing, but all of a sudden they go past. It's a game to, what does that do? Every part of the service is important. The little child there is important. The old person, important, and everybody in between. And the Word of God says, comfort them. But if you see somebody acting out of place, deal with them. Bring them to line. Be patient. Work with them. Trust God. Believe God. Help them be the best that they can be. Then it goes on. Another part of it. See that none render evil for evil. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. This is talking about a corporate act. Not just a pastor. Every one of you, watch out for each other and make sure that people don't render evil for evil. In other words, don't go about siding with people who want to hurt somebody else because somebody did something to them. Talk them out of it. Hello? Talk them out of it. No, I know, sister. I know, yeah, they shouldn't have done that. That's really bad. But what you are about to do is not right either. Two wrongs are not going to make a right. So just chill. Let's give this to the Lord. The Word of God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Cast this burden to the Lord. But let's go for coffee. Come. Let's go do something else. Let's go play baseball. Let's go do something. Let's go watch a movie. Well, I don't care what you have to do to distract them from whatever agenda they're about to get into, rendering evil for evil. God says, be certain not to allow that. What is it pointing to? Everything we're pointing at so far is having to do with something called L-O-V-E. What does that mean? Love. In essence, what God comes back for is love. That's it. Two things, faith and love. That's it. Faith and love. That is the righteousness of God that will get you to get pulled out of the mess of the wrath. Make certain that no one renders evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all men. So amongst yourselves as believers, follow what is good, what is right, and extend it to all men. Praise the Lord. Say, Pastor, this is so simple. No, it's not that simple when we're talking about love here. But this is what is going to keep you, ultimately. Love. Love. It is not just four letters. This is who God is. God is love. God is a spirit, the Word of God says. But it says very specifically, God is love, not a love, love. And if you're born of God, then you must be born of love. Hallelujah. So express love to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. And the reason that's important is because it's the people that are close to you that are going to rub you the wrong way. Amen? Yeah. Nobody rubs you the wrong way better than the people close to you. So those are the people you definitely have to love. If you can love the people close to you, you're going to love other people. Amen? We start from there. Love. Then the second, I believe the second shortest verse in the Bible. It says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. In every experience that you're going through, just rejoice with thanksgiving. Just bless the name of the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Be a child of God that is rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore. You're going to make it through the crisis and the challenges that are coming into the world by rejoicing, by just giving God thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for grace to stand through all of this. And in rejoicing, you rejoice yourself, and the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. It strengthens you. You need to rejoice evermore. And then it says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean to you and I? It means don't stop praying. Even if you don't see anything happening, just keep on praying. It is as much faith to keep praying and believing God when you've not seen anything as believing God and you saw something. Because your praying is your commitment to God. It's not praying. Faith here is not just results. Faith here is about faith in God. I have faith in God. I don't know why he's not answering me right now, but I'll keep on knocking. Amen? Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Don't start going and finding plan B or plan C or whatever. No, I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm persuaded that he's going to take care of that which I've committed to him against that day. I have no plan B. There's no plan B. There's just one plan, God. What are you going to do? I don't know, but God does. So I'm going to talk to him. The word of God says, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Just keep at it. Stay steadfast in faith. Amen? At another time, I'm going to come and deal with this particular passage in more detail. It deserves to be dealt with more in detail. But for now, just have it as this. Not to stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Be steadfast in faith. Praise God. Because there are going to be things that are going to come. Things that are going to happen that are going to make you want to stop praying. It's not working. Let me find another way. Yeah, that's what Abraham did. And we still have the result of that happening. There's a war going on because of that now. Stay on the right path. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. You need to do that. That's how you're going to be blessed. Amen? You want to be spiritually buffed? Keep on praying. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking real slow. I just need to go step by step. I don't want you to miss anything. This is extremely important. And then it says, next thing is going to help you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This morning I shared with you about a gentleman that we met, you know, last week. I guess that would be last week, Saturday. And was talking about believers. Actually, he called me today. He said, man, he's from Europe. And we struck a good friendship. And he called Mama and I this afternoon. And we told him, he said, you know what? You are part of the message this morning. Because what he said was so true. And as I was talking about it, I could see those from Nigeria that know Muslims all nodding their head. That's right. It's the truth. Because a Muslim will, no matter what, he or she is going through, God be praised. God be praised. Bad thing is happening, God be praised. Good thing is happening, God be praised. The Christian, good things are happening. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bad things happen. Oh, God. Why me? I give my tithe. I sing all the time. I worship you. I'm so nice. I'm a nice person. Why is this bad thing happening to me? No. God be praised. That's what you should be saying. God be praised. I don't understand it. Oh, Lord, I know why this bad thing is happening to me. God be praised. I have learned my lesson. Lord, help me. That's all. God causes all things to work together for your good. Yeah. Amen? So the word of God says, in everything, no matter, it's not that you're thanking God for the thing, you're thanking God for who he is. Because you know that, yes, this bad thing is happening, but God will see me through. Amen? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I don't know what your will is. He already told you. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. That's all. Just give thanks. God is saying to you and I, no matter what you see happening, just give thanks. That's the attitude that will see you through whatever it is that is coming on the earth. Just give thanks. God, you know all things. You see all things. I give you thanks. He says, this is my will in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're in Christ Jesus, Then my will for you is for you to give thanks, no matter what. Just give thanks. And by the way, while you're doing that, quench not the spirit. Do you see the layers? It says, don't quench the spirit. How do you quench the spirit? You quench the spirit when you are operating in unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife, not walking in love. You quench the spirit. You quench the spirit when you are not listening and obeying the instruction of the Lord. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, I'm not hearing God. I've been praying about this and I can't hear God. And I'll say, what was the last instruction he gave to you? He told me to do this. Did you do it? Not yet. So why do you want him to give you another instruction if you didn't listen to the first one? Start doing what you're supposed to be doing and you hear from God. He'll tell you what you need to do. But it's not going to make you worse off. God gives you an instruction. Obey the instruction. Follow. Don't quench the spirit. Don't resist the spirit of God. The spirit of God has no business talking to you about anything new if you've not done the last thing he instructed you to do. It's like I say to people, they want God to bless them. God bless me. God bless me. Pastor, pray for me. So God bless me. Bless my business. God bless my job. God give me promotion. And I ask, are you faithful in your giving? Well, I'm trying, you know, some now and then, you know. Pastor, it's hard. I say, okay, tell you what. You want God to bless you. God to increase you. If he increases you, that's going to make you a bigger thief than you are now. You can honor God with $10 now. You want God to give you more so you can rob him of 20 or 100? What are we talking about here? God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to make you a bigger thief. So don't expect anything until you start obeying God and the instruction he gave to you. But I got all this. God knows about all this, whatever it is that you got to do and deal with. Why don't you just trust him and see how he's going to maneuver you through this situation and get you to the other side? And then you say, wow, look at what God did for me. Amen. Do you know what I found out about God? When I need something, he asks me for something big that doesn't make any sense to me. And I wonder why it makes any sense to him that I should be doing that. But I found out that when I just obey the instruction, he gets me out of it. He gets me out of it. I can rest myself on that. That somehow God will get me out of whatever situation by the act of obedience. So just obey God. Don't quench the Spirit of God and I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to listen to that. You know, keep at it. Keep at it and you find out it's not going to work out the way you think. That whatever it is that you think you're gathering is going to all be blown away. That your pocket will have holes. You just obey God and watch God. Watch God. Do exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. God will become the best negotiator for you. He will cause favor to fall before you. And whatever people are paying for stuff, you don't get to pay that. Just by obeying God. Don't quench the spirit. It's so easy to quench the spirit and reason it out. in your natural mind why that should not be what God is really saying. It can't be, God can't be saying that. Well, I tell you what, He is saying it. Don't quench the Spirit. And the next thing He says to us, He says, do not despise prophesying. Don't despise prophecy. Despise not prophesying. And it is not just about, are you listening? Okay. It's not just not despising the prophetic word that is given to you. It is about you not despising the proclamation of the words of God coming out of your mouth for a divine purpose. So the word of God calls every one of us to prophesy. Don't despise confessing the word of God, speaking prophetically over your situation, declaring the will of God over your life, no matter what the situation is. Don't stop declaring that which you want to see happen. Keep saying it. Don't despise it. It is part of your weapon. The spirit of prophecy is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the spirit of the word. Remember something that we learned, that God breathed into every one of us His word. That's how we became living souls. And that those words are employed words. They are words that God put inside of you. There's so much word of God that is put inside of you that He expects you to speak out of your mouth. Those words are words of salvation. So when you say, Jesus is the Lord of my soul, He is my Lord and my Savior, those are words that God has put inside there already. You just sent it out. And God says, that's right, I am your Lord and I'm your Savior. You are saved, and pulls you out from wrath. Prophesy. Say what you want to see. For example, let's say, remember what we were talking about this morning and on Wednesday about cryptos moving in the invisible realm. How is that going to happen? Say it out of your mouth. They cannot see me. You say it, it's an employed word. You say it out of your mouth. I am not going to be captured. It's gone. I am not going to be held captive by the enemy. That's not my portion. You sent it. I will live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, don't despise speaking out the word. Just speak it. What if it doesn't work? If it doesn't work, it didn't work. But what if it worked? Why are you spending your time worrying about whether it will work or not work? You're working with your natural mind. You're not working by the Spirit of God. When you're working by the Spirit of God, you're believing that that which you say, you shall receive. Amen? If you have God's kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say, or which you are saying, shall come to pass, you shall have what you are saying. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just say what God is quickening you to say. That's a prophetic declaration. You may not know how it's going to manifest itself, but it will manifest itself. Like when I was coming down Main Street and the Lord said, say, let there be a Burger King. I didn't know what that meant. I just said that. But the manifestation of it was the Burger King, but from that Burger King, the problem I would have been praying about got solved. Yeah. It didn't seem that it was related, but in God's mind, it was completely connected. Amen? Despise not prophesying. Speak it. The prophetic words have come into your life. Fight a good fight based on that. I remember years ago, one of the sons in this house heard me say on Sunday morning, no unemployment in this church. He went to work the next day, and they were laying everybody off. And he said, Pastor said, no unemployment at Glory of Peace. So they called him in, and people were expecting him to be laid off too or fired. And he gets there, and they keep him. They fired people that were over him, people beneath him, but he fought with the prophetic word. Is that true or not? Amen. That's what you do. You hear the word of God, you use it. Don't keep your sword sheathed and your head is being lopped off. Pull it out and fight. Fight a good fight of faith. Hello? God says, don't despise. It's important. You need it. Use it. People who do not engage the word of God lose out. Take a stand. And then it says, prove all things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Prove all things. I like that. That's a powerful word. Prove all things. Prove all things. You know, in Romans 12, it starts out in verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Wow, I didn't see that time. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. The way you think is going to change your outlook to life. That ye may prove. Prove what? What is that good? What is that acceptable? What is that perfect will of God? The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. He says, you need to prove it. You need to prove it. You know, in school, there was a kind of math that you had to do. And you have this equation. You have this equation, and you've got to prove it. And when you prove it, you ended up putting these three letters, QED. I don't know what QED stood for, but it was QED. That means I dare anybody to prove that I did not prove this right. You either get full marks or you get a big zero. Well, the word of God here is saying to us, it says, you've got to prove something. Prove all things. Check on it. How does this work? Examine it. Scrutinize it. You hear the word of God as it's being preached today? Scrutinize it. Don't just come and hear what I have to say and not go back and check on it. See if that's what the word of God really says. And what is the point of it? The point of it is when you prove it, you get to know it for real. It's not they said anymore, I know that I know. Hello? And that's all God wants you to do. He wants you to get to the place where you know. And it's not just, oh, pastor said. No, I know. How do you know? Because I studied it, just like the Bereans did. They were more honorable than the others because when they heard the word, they went and they checked it out. They checked it out. Make sure that what they were hearing is the truth. How much of what you hear in this house do you go back and study? Take time to do it. Then you get to know it. Especially in this day and time. Not that I'm promoting Google, but you know, some things you can Google. You can go through your search engines and find out different things. Pastor said this word is this. Go find out. Pastor said, you know, given in abundance, the word is eulogia. Go find out. Pastor said, no idle words, and the word is agos. Go find out. I know I'm not going to come here and give you, you know, nonsense. But I'm not going to trust every other person because I don't know what their agenda is. I'll go, you said it, I'll check it. That's true. That's what it is. I meditate on it. I make it my truth. The truth of the Word of God. You need to prove all things. Don't just assume and just believe anything. Believe what is true. Amen? Until I can prove that it's a lie, it is the truth. But for me to prove that it's a lie, I've got to find out whether it's the truth first. Know the truth. It's the truth that you know that will make you free. And the world is full of deception. And the thing about deception is, deception has an element of truth about it. If it's a blatant lie, any fool will get it. But the Word of God says that deception is coming into the world. So you have to be discerning. You have to test. You've got to examine, you've got to scrutinize whatever it is that you're listening to make certain that it is the Word of God. That's how you're going to make it in the days that have befallen us. Don't quench the Spirit, don't despise prophesying, prove all things, and then hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to it. If it is good, hold fast to it. Grab it and don't let go. Don't let anybody take it from you. Amen? Hold fast to that which is true. You want to kill me for this? I will die for it. This is the truth. Jesus is Lord. If you deny Jesus, you get to live. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do whatever it is you want to do. If he saves me, great. If he doesn't, I'm still not. I'm not going to bow down to your demons. Make that decision. You're not going to make that decision some other day. You make the decision now. That's how you get ready. Know what you, where the limits are, where the line is. Thank God for COVID. So many people blew it because they did not listen. God forewarned us of so many things, and some didn't listen. I remember saying to you, the squeeze is coming, even before COVID. I said, the squeeze is coming. But when you get squeezed, what's going to come out? What's going to come out of that tube? If you get squeezed, what is going to come out of you? Is it going to be praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow? Or F this, F that? You know, just bumping all over the place. So you're a believer. Oh, it hurts so. Let it fly. Huh? Is that it? Just a little pressure and all the demons start coming out. No. Be so full of the Spirit of God that when something that does not belong, Rabba Shanturubu Kosakaya. Not F this, F that. Oh, Rabba Bashakata. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Because you're full of the Spirit of God. Amen? Well, we will stop there for tonight. We'll stop there for tonight. Because there's so much more to be said. The next one, I believe, is high up there in importance, where the Word of God talks about the appearance of evil. Abstain from the appearance of evil. And all I will say about that, and we'll continue, is that statement has two prongs to it. Abstaining from all appearance of evil is abstaining from anything that will be redirected and seen as evil. Don't place yourself in a wrong position. But also abstaining from all evil is the Word of God saying to you and I, abstain from the appearance. When evil appears, abstain from it. Do you get it? Abstain from it. Move away. When you see evil, move away from it. Don't play with it. And the first part that I said is abstain from all evil, meaning don't be putting yourself where evil is or causing people to reinterpret or imagine things about whatever it is that you are doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll build on that some other time. But for tonight, I thank God for the time I've had to spend with you. I lost track of the time completely. But nonetheless, these are important things that we need to hold on to. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, line by line, precept by precept, you've stated things that we need to have in place if we are going to be victorious, if we are going to overcome in this present age. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that by your help, that we do this and that we faithfully continue in faith, walking uprightly as sons and daughters, chosen of you, seeking first your kingdom and all of its righteousness, pursuing with a pure heart the things of God. So, Lord, O God, that being guided by you, our lives testify of your goodness in the land of the living. We give you praise for your manifold blessings and for the wealth of grace that abounds towards us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us bless Him who has given us so much. He's faithful. Thank you. God bless you. He is faithful, who has loved us with an everlasting love. I celebrate every one of you. I thank God for every one of you. We live in interesting times. And God chose for you to live in this time and not any other time, but this very time. And I want you to know that you are fully equipped and capable in Christ Jesus to live the life of victory. For whoever and whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even faith. You are that victory of God, and you are the manifestation of the faith of God. Don't ever forget that. Continue in faith. Be steadfast, and you will know the goodness of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for all of you, and we'll say bye to those that are online, and I'll switch off to